Robin Uifaluchi is a humanitarian aid worker, football lover, and now author. I met him in a cafe the other day to ask him about his new book, Yaksehraya Fotbol Vafrice, or How Football is Played in Africa. The book was written during a three-month stay in Nairobi, where Robin was working with communities, and more specifically, their football teams. Uifaluchi comes from a footballing background, with his cousin, Tomáš, playing for the Czech national team. In How Football is Played in Africa, Tomáš Uifaluchi makes a guest appearance, writing an introduction to the Football for Development project that took Robin to Kenya, and a few words about the book as a whole. But I started at the very beginning, asking Robin about a quote he uses to open his book from the Polish journalist Ryszard Kapuściński, which makes the bold statement that Africa doesn't exist. I asked him what he meant by this.
It's a popular book, and I think that the title itself is quite ambitious and actually misleading. Because to say, I mean, what's football in Africa, it's such a huge continent, and I try to explain it on, 100, 150 pages. I mean, there is not everything, obviously. So I just try to say with this motto that I used concrete stories of the people I met in Africa. It's just part of the African reality. I mean, that was one of my main experiences from Africa. Before you go there, it's Africa as a whole. After I was there, I never actually say that I was in Africa. I was in Kenya and I was working in Nairobi. And when I was traveling after that, I went to Uganda and Rwanda, and I found out that even in those three countries, they are so different. And the countryside, the habits, the history and all that stuff. Then I found out that actually just 3% of the continent. And I mean Africa, that's Morocco as well as Madagascar. Everything is Africa. But I mean, what, for example, those two countries, what is common for them? That's a big question of Africa, and I try to point it in this motto.
As you mentioned there, the title of your book is How Football is Played in Africa. So would you say that given your experiences, there is a different way of playing football in Africa than there is, say, in Europe?
I would mention like 2 points. Even when you see World Cup or these big matches, you see that the African way of playing football is quite attractive, cool for watching, because they like to really play. They are not so focused on the result, but they really like to enjoy the game. And what they usually miss is like more strategy thinking and going for goals and be so effective, but they really enjoy playing. So that's 1 point. The other, I mean, crucial difference is that it's played in completely different material conditions. They play usually without shoes, and the fields are so bumpy, and I mean the grass field which you have here in every village, they can just dream about it, because usually it's just not nice and dirty ground there. But I mean, they're happy even for what they have, and they really can enjoy the game even if the material conditions are very, very basic.
At the very end of your book, you've got a series of thematic sections, and one of them is this football and witchcraft, or football and magic. And because this book is only in Czech, can you give our listeners a sneaky peek of what they're missing in that section? What sort of rituals go hand in hand with football matches?
It's kind of a public secret that the people don't talk about it so much, but I mean at least in Africa everybody knows that it's there somehow, and it's the praxis in really small clubs in the countryside, as well as the top clubs of Africa, as well as the national teams.
So what exactly is this practice? It must vary from club to club, but are there generally sort of certain preparation rituals that are gone through? I mean, what sort of forms does witchcraft take?
There are different kinds of preparation for matches. Like, they prepare kind of potion, and they put, for example, the jerseys and the socks inside, and then they believe that the players are stronger. They, for example, make a special ritual with the lion, that part of the body of the lion. They put it on the skin, and they believe, for example, fat from the lion. And then they believe that the player will be strong enough. Or if it's zebra, they believe that the player will be fast enough during the game. So there are many ways of doing that. And even they try to influence or to destroy the abilities of the opposite players, like they put their names, the names of the rival team on the X, and then they break it so that it it takes energy from them.
Is it really just a question of money, that each team has a coach and a shaman and they both sort of get paid a salary, or how does it work?
There are different ways. I think that some of them really know how to influence the spirit of the players, and it's actually kind of what the European teams have, like psychologists of sport or something like this, so psychical preparation for the match. But obviously there are some people who just pretend that they know something and just try to make kind of magic with water, and they just try to earn some money through that. And if it's official, some clubs have some special funds for influencing the referees or for corruption. They say that shamans, that they have special funds for that, so that they always can call them and be ready for the match.
Do you think that there is this clear link between football and storytelling? I don't know. Do you think it is easy to tell tales about football, to write books about football, and it is this international language that your cousin speaks about?
Not really. I mean, I see more connection between football and the reality of African daily life, and I think that was really interesting for me, to show a part of African everyday life through the phenomenon of football, because this is a really a big topic for Africa, and it's not just on the field. You can see it everywhere. It's closely connected to politics, because I mean usually the so-called political allies, they try to use football or successes of African national team for their purposes. So I was more interested in that. I just thought I wanted to share this experience, and I wanted to show the audience the topic which is not so mainstream and popular, which is actually the life in the slums and in the poorest area of Africa. And I just thought that football is quite a smart tool.
For our British audience, I suppose, it might be quite interesting what you say in your book, that in Kenya especially, the Premiership, the Premier League, the English Premier League, is the most watched thing. It's just sensationally popular. I mean, can you tell me a bit about that?
I mean, it's really unbelievable. It's unbelievable as well as for somebody coming from Czech Republic, when he asks what they know about Czech Republic. Somehow they mix together Czechia and Chechnya, so they have no idea. And sometimes they ask you if it's still part of Russia and so on. So geographically, they really don't know almost anything. But what they know is almost the whole 11 of the Czech national team. Like, they are able to count one player after another, especially those who are playing in the English Premier League. I think it's a matter of the history as well, that in many restaurants, even in a poorer quarters, they can go on Sunday to watch a match in the afternoon. They pay a small money for that, and then they can enjoy. And when I wanted to cheat them a bit, I told them that there are actually two main religions in Kenya, and one of them is Christian, because in the morning they go to church, and the second one is English Premier League, because in the afternoon they get stuck to the monitor and they just watch their heroes in England.
Okay, and I guess just a nice final question would be, has your life here changed since you went to Africa and did all of that, and if so, how?
I mean, what I found out definitely in Africa was that you can live at the very modest level and still be happy. So I think I'm quite aware of that even after 2 years after coming back from there. And the second point is that it changed a lot, because since then I'm quite involved in the projects. And last year it was Street Football Festival, the first kind of World Cup of all the projects all around the world, which use football as a tool for some other social or development project. Then during the autumn and winter I was writing this book, and the last 4 months I was actually preparing the Football for Development project, the Czech version, which actually finished today.